was gewesen. Abraham Yosha be Eretz Kanan, Eloi Yosha be Ori Akiva. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot was sitting in the kikar, Bayel at Sodom. And he had set up his tents all the way up to Sodom. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud. V'anshei Sodom royim v'chatoyim l'Hashem ma'ov. And the people of Sodom were bad and sinners against Hashem very much. Royim v'chatoyim l'Hashem ma'ov. Says Rashi. Royim begufa. Chatoyim bimimoinim. L'Hashem ma'ov. Yoidim, Riboinam, Mushabim, Limroid, Boy. So Rashi says, Roy means begufa. They did bad with their bodies. Chatoyim, Bimimoinam. They did sins with the way they dealt with monetarily, were unethical. Immoral and unethical. Lashem Ma'od, Yoidim, Riboinam, Mushabim, Limroid, but they knew what Kash Baruch was, and they chose to rebel against him. So you can't have Gila Rashi, Vechazam, and Borazo over here, right? You have the Gila Rashi of Ram Begufa. Chatoyim is really, this is any sin that involves, yes, you have the dispute over money, it could be, it could cause killing, but it means you're sinning with the body, sin with the guf. L'Hashem ma'od, it was against Hashem. Now, the truth is, the Vilna Gaon says that usually a person has one basic character drive that, really his actions come from that source. And really, Royim and Chatoyim are two separate sources. Royim Begufam is coming from Taiva. Chatoyim is not coming from Taiva, but it's coming from a corruption of an attitude towards money. And that they had both. Why? Because Lashem Ma'od. In other words, if the driving force was Taiva, then you'd see the big Bali Taiva. If the driving force was they had a corrupt way of thinking about money and who money belongs to, so then you would see them sitting with money. But the reason why they did both, even though they were kind of different drive, is because Lashem Ma'od. Neither was, it wasn't based on Taiva, it wasn't based on the corruption of money, it was Lashem Ma'od. They wanted in any way spite God. Lashem Ma'od. So therefore they were Bali Taiva, therefore they stole the money. It was all a way of spiting God. Lashem Ma'od. That's how you could learn Pshat as well. But the bottom line is, they were Yoidim Rebbeinu Mecham. Everybody's a very strange thing. Today we don't have that really. The kind of somebody who really knows his God and says, I don't care, I'm in your face. Today most people either they believe in God, or they don't believe in God. But they don't believe in God and say, I'm going to do something to spite you. Right? But there was such a mahalach of Yoidim as Bairam Umeschavdim Limbroid Boy.
What made the city like that? What made them like that?
Okay, so hold on. So, understand two things. Number one is that when we say there were royim b'taiva and chatoyim b'mona, so we mentioned earlier. Well, I think we did that. Stone was a very corrupt city when it came to money as well. They had a very bad attitude of money. We know that they didn't encourage any chesed whatsoever. They didn't allow any hospitality, and they had a very warped sense of justice. And that warped sense of justice was really, it showed a total lack of respect for money. In other words, there's a famous medrash, I think I mentioned to you, that somebody once hauled another guy into court, the medrash says, in Sodom, because he caused him to bleed. So the judge says, huh, you want money because he caused you to bleed? Just the opposite. We believe that letting somebody bleed is very healthy. Bloodletting was in those days, was my father was even called bankers. They would do things.
That was Eliezer, right?
What?
Was that Eliezer who
came to court? I don't know. So they hold him in the court, and he said, he owes me money because he caused me to bleed. The judge says, cause you to bleed. Yeah. That's the opposite. You owe him money because he caused you to bleed. It's a good thing. So the guy said, really? He said, yep. So he picked up a stone and threw it at the judge. He said, okay, now you owe me money, so you pay me instead. That's the message.
Right? Yeah, Rabbi Muslim said that.
It sounds very cute. But what it really means is a total corruption of any misgeret of money. A misgeret of what's mine is mine, is yours is yours. The whole thing, it was complete anarchy. Let me get to that. Because if I asked you, Why can't you steal? What would you say?
I'm going to cause a breakdown of society.
Because it's not yours. What else?
It's immoral.
So, if you ask Avraham Avinu why he can't steal, he'd say, what do you mean? It's the opposite of chesed. Somebody has hard-earned money, and it's a cruel thing to take someone and blow somebody else. That's an opposite of chesed. You ask Yitzchak, he'd say, what do you mean? It's not din. You didn't earn it. He earned it. It's his, not yours. And you ask Yaakov, he'll say, what do you mean? It's not truthful. It's not honest. If it's not yours, then it's deceitful. Right? So, they're all right. There are different levels of why the day was wrong. But the stone was making a statement that we don't believe in the chesed, we don't believe in the emes, everything. They wanted to totally corrupt the din. Ayn Rand, you talk about Ayn Rand ever?
No.
Ayn Rand, pronounced, I don't know how to pronounce, Ayn Rand, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I don't think it's Ayn, I'm pronouncing it. It's A-Y-N, and R-A-N-D is her last name. She's a Russian, she was Jewish, and she was an atheist.
Atlas Shrugged.
It's a pretty dense book, yeah, right? Atlas Shrugged, she wrote a number of books. She wrote Atlas Shrugged, Fountainhead. I was a big fan of hers. I was never a fan of hers. I enjoyed reading her books, because they were very fascinating. Fountainhead's also a pretty thick book, not as big as Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged's maybe a couple thousand pages even. Yeah. Atlas Shrugged, We the Living was a play she wrote, Anthem. All her books basically revolve around one thing. She truly believed in the virtue of selfishness. That it was a virtue to be selfish. And in fact, it's the opposite. Selflessness is a weakness. That people who can't succeed, they preach selflessness because they have to leech on somebody else. But only selfish people really accomplish in life. Because they're so focused on what they want. And so all her books kind of prove that point. Now, I don't remember Alice Shrugged so well. Bottom line is, I think all the main characters were shakers and movers, and they had enough of the world that was basically trying to leech off them, and they all like disappeared to this island or something like that.
Some hidden place.
And you see the world begin to crumble, because the bottom line is, without these movers and shakers, who were selfish people, the world fell apart. So that's Atlas Shrugged. Who is John Gould, right? Is that part of that book? Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's John Gould, anyway?
He was the first guy to move to the...
Anyway, it's a fascinating read. Yeah. I read it in high school. I mean, it's fascinating, but obviously it's totally krum. But she really b'shikta believed that. She b'kum vasei believed in the virtue of selfishness. That was stone. Stone was mamish what she said. They believed in the virtue of selfishness. It's mamish. She took a much point. There was, it's true, it's hilarious, I should bring it in. Oh, did they take it home with me or not? It was an article in Newsweek magazine about 10 years ago, maybe a little more, where a particular university was giving credit. If you volunteered, whatever you volunteered, homeless, you volunteered for this, you got credits for it. So the Ayn Rand Society, there was an Ayn Rand Society on that campus, said, chutzpah? How can you do that? We believe volunteering is an awful thing to do. You're choosing sides. College is supposed to be neutral. They're not supposed to express one value over the next. They don't take sides and values. You're doctor choosing to say that volunteering is a good thing, and you're grateful. We say it's not right. We say volunteering is an ugly thing. Now, the mamash, they fought them. The mamash fought them on campus and said, how can you give credit to volunteering? We say it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. May I have a taste? So this is the mamash. So this is mamash in the article. If I go up, I'll get somebody to send them. It's hysterical. So the college was in a dilemma. On the one hand, I mean, they knew it was ridiculous. On the other hand, they have to be neutral, right? So what they did was the following. They said, they came up with the following compromise. We're going to give credit to anybody who volunteers, but we'll also give credit to anybody who volunteers for the Ayn Rand Society, which makes zero sense, but they accepted it, right? Which doesn't make zero sense, right? It's kind of a paradox, right?
Volunteers.
You volunteered, right?
So they get it.
What? Right, exactly. So, but that's mamash maishi ha'yikacha, yeah? Very absurd. But that was mamash stone. If you want to try to understand stone, Ayn Rand was, she got her idea from stone. Stone is mamash, the virtue of selfishness. Do you think I'm much point? So, and they also were, just like Ayn Rand, was Torah. It was against God. Mamash against God. Now, we know Lot's going to get their comeuppance later on. A stone is going to get their comeuppance. It's going to be destroyed. Understand, it's important to know that you know, I'm going to say something a little bit, I think you're mature enough to handle this. We know that a woman who's in Nida, you live in Nida, it's a curse. Right? Whether she's single or she's married. It's a curse. So there were a number of Zionists, Jewish prostitutes, that approached the Rav, and actually it's a Shailan, it's brought down Shulchan Aruch from one of the kingdom. They said, listen, we know that you don't let us, they don't let Pneos, single women, into a mikvah. Because that, we don't condone women who are not married to live with other men. So we understand that we can't get in, they're not letting us in. But we want to have a mikvah built just for the Zionists in this town, Jewish Zionists. So at least the men who are living with them, there won't be obvious of curse. It's not the first time it's written. I saw this in the Shiloh Shiva, but it's put down a few places. All right. But by the way, it's a hafdik zah. No, Rav Yisrael, it shows you. On the one hand, obviously, it's totally twisted. On one hand, it's totally twisted. On the other hand, it shows you. I mean, it's twisted. It also shows you how the human mind works. That somehow. They want to follow the words of the Torah and say, don't do it, it's a curse. Yeah? But they'll be mizana. Yeah? A human being has the ability to rationalize and somehow compartmentalize. And number three, it also shows you that there's respect. There was respect on the one hand. It's a mizach. But that's what it was. Anyway, the Rav and a few places happened. Absolutely not. You can't build a mikvah that essentially sanctions nus. You're building a mikvah, you're sanctioning this. Now, if you ask any Rav, still, hey, if a Pneus sneaks into a mikvah and nobody notices, are you going to say anything? I say no. Because right, at the end of the line, and then it's certainly better that she's not causing anybody to do it as a curse. But you can't, bekum va'asei, create a matzah where you're sanctioning it, right? That's the. So you can't build a mikvah for Zionists. So it's a. Right? But what's Pshat now? Why not? Are you stopping this? Why not? There's a difference between a yachid that doesn't have aveira and a tzibur that doesn't have aveira. When a ganzen tzibur doesn't have aveira, the corruption is so much more dangerous and insidious. A yachid doesn't have aveira is pshat, like, we know it's right, he can't help himself, he's doing wrong, fine, he's a yachid, he's an aberration. When a yachid does something, he's an aberration. When a tzibur does something, it's not an aberration anymore. Stone made it, that's not an aberration, to be mezana, to steal. They took away the whole aberration. It was a tzibur. It was institutionalized immorality. That's Hashem can't tolerate. Institutionalized immorality, that can't be, that has to go. And the tzibur is building, right, edifices that glorify immorality, which is what they did. Even the courts glorify corruption of din, right? The judge said, you know, you have to pay him because he caused you, right? It was institutionalized. That already is. You can do that. Right? That's done. Okay. So va'achi stoyim brayim v'chatan l'shem ahoyid v'ashem amal avram. Akher parli mi'itoy somei necha u'rein v'okam asher atasham tzifayu v'negu v'keim v'yama. Right? So Avram, Hashem is going to now tell Avram, I want you to look around and I'm going to give you the land of Eretz Yisrael. So the only part we're going to focus on now, when we get the pamphlet, the handout, which I was copied, was left in the middle school. Amar part of Lord Imoy, look at Rashi says, Kol zman sharosha imoy hoya hadibur pirish menu. It says, Hashem spoke to Avram after Lot left, says Rashi. That implies, Kol zman that Lot was around, Hashem refused to speak to Avram. Because Hashem says, I can't speak to you when that rush is around you. You're hanging around a Russia. So again, look at Rashi. Kol zman shah Russia imay. As long as that Russia was with him, hayah dibur poirish menu. Hashem wouldn't speak to Avram.
It seems from here that he's doing the right thing by
separating. Oh, so it would seem from here that Avram did the right thing by separating from Lot. In fact, he denied himself the opportunity to speak out his Baruch Hu up until this point. On the other hand, I think I told you earlier Right, that's what he may be referring to. That Hashem has tainus and Avram. The whole world you're being makariv, and your own cousin you're not doing it to. Your own nephew you're not doing it to. The Psar Chalasali, you have more responsibility to family member. Right? As I got afraid. Right? This is a major question. So we've got to figure out now the Hanhag of Avram. And therefore, by association, our hanhaga. What should our hanhaga be with people that are ofer derech? Are you supposed to keep them close? Or it's the opposite. By keeping close, you're harming yourself, which clearly happened to Avraham. Right? So that this whole shaila of when to hold them, when to fold them, right? That whole shaila comes up over here. How Avram conducted himself with Lot. It seems in the beginning he took him with, and then he expels him, right? So how do you say the Havmina, the Karadam HaKarada was the Havmina, what's the Maskara? And Yaakarish Baruch Hu, HaKarish Baruch Hu penalized Avram for taking care of one of his own children, and then chastised him later on for throwing him away? Right? That's the kasha. That's what's been on Mitzvah next time. So to point out, when he says "Sona einecha urei menochas atasham," the collector points that very beautifully. "Sona einecha urei menamakam." Avram is going to get to see all of Eretz Yisrael from this one place, which is nothing less than a miracle. Who else did that happen to? Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll see that this is the same thing happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Happens to Avram. "Sona einecha," lift your eyes, and you'll see from the place you're standing now all over. All right? We'll see why Hashem did that miracle. Well, the person that will see that tomorrow will stop here.